Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Sunday night, November 20th, 2022. My name is Jake Luke. Joined on my screen by my guy, Siege Batman. He's wearing his Hunter S. Thompson glasses. He's looking looking great. How's it going, pal?
Feeling good, man. I'm in a good mood. It was a fun day. I spent too much time sad during the game, so I'm not gonna spend any more time after the game.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where, like, a little bit of a cliche to say that a win is a win, but a win is very much a win, and 7-3 is a pretty darn good spot to be in for the Ravens after they get the 13-3 victory over the Carolina Panthers in M&T Bank Stadium, a frigid M&T Bank Stadium, I might say. There were reports about the cold coming out. I was talking about it with friends all throughout the weekend. It was a big weekend for me, all kind of culminating in this, and yeah, brother, it lived up to the hype. It was cold as shit. It was probably like in the 30s, like as far as like the actual temperature. But the hashtag real feel, which is like my favorite terminology of all time, real feel temperature, it was like it must have been in the teens. Like it was really bad with the wind, sitting in the shade most of the day. Extremities were not great, but you know what? I layered up. I was prepared, ready to rock, more so than the Ravens offense for most of this game. But you know what? They ultimately delivered there in the fourth quarter. Like I said, they get out of there with the 13-3 victory. So what is kind of your initial reaction to this one? What was your viewing experience like? What was the deal today for you?
It is Shrek and onion season. Everybody's got layers right now. No, I woke up pretty much like 12:55 after like in the afternoon after working like all night and just kind of hopped right into the game. I don't get like kind of that like, my pregame angst comes like trying to get to sleep before the game happens. And then I wake up and I kind of have to scroll through Twitter. I'm like, all right, who's inactive? What's going on? What are the storylines going into this? But no, I feel pretty good. The, I forget who it was, but the sideline reporter today kept talking about not really like that it was cold, but just kept talking about the wind and how the new, like the new screens that they put and the ones up in the corners at the top of the stadium kind of like keep the wind trapped in there. And then it was cold. So you like, and like, you couldn't really tell, but like you're watching it on the TV and they keep talking about the weather. And you're like, you know, like this offense doesn't look good right now, but neither do the Panthers offense look good right now. And it looks like it, like they keep talking about it. Like it's cold. That's gotta be having some effect on the game. Like those players' hands have to hurt. People's bodies have to be sore. People got to be out of breath. I know like when your like chest tightens in that cold weather and it's like hard to draw breath after the cold, like, I'm sure some of those players were down there like struggling today.
Yeah, dude, it reminds me of weirdly, I don't know why I thought about this today, but I was reminded of the 2013 season. I was a freshman in college and the Ravens played the Jets, I think the week of Thanksgiving, because like I think a couple people had left and like I had maybe a class or two that I had to stick around for. And I just remember watching Joe Flacco throwing a couple picks to Cromartie and like, you know, Geno Smith in his rookie season having kind of a tough game. And yeah, the Ravens just got a really ugly win against the Jets that day. And ultimately that season didn't wind up going anywhere. They were 8-8. But it just, it reminded me a lot of that, just like a workmanlike win over a team that you don't really see that often in just really frigid conditions with the sun like shining, like the sun was out, but brother, it wasn't doing much. Let me tell you that much. It was windy out there, like you were saying. It was affecting the kicks, like in the pregame. Part of the reason I was starting to get a little concerned was like Tucker was, you see these tweets from people like Jonah Schaefer and Jameson Hensley talking about how Tucker is like missing from 40, within the 40s at the very least, because the wind was just kind of bucking his head and he couldn't get a solid thing to it. And same thing was true for Eddie Pinheiro of the Panthers, but it was kind of just like, man, is this going to be one of those games? And it wound up being one of them, but ultimately the Ravens got the W. certainly not a pretty one. I don't know. What's kind of your temperature as far as how the fan base is feeling here? Because it feels like people are, you kind of alluded to it before we got going here, that it doesn't feel like everyone's super satisfied with this one.
I am probably happier than a lot of the fan base, especially the Twitter regions of the fan base. I don't know. 7-3 feels really good, especially compared to 6-4 when you look at the NFL right now. Like, it just, it does not feel like there's a lot of good teams in the NFL. Like, I don't know. Besides maybe the Chiefs, there might not really just be a good team. Like, the Bills, like, struggled to get today against the Browns. The Eagles barely beat the 4-6-1 Jeff Saturday-led Colts. The Giants lost to the Lions today. The Bengals are, like, in a dogfight with the Steelers, which is, like, to be expected, but, like, still, like, we'll see how the Chiefs fare against the Chargers. And I'm not very high on the Chargers this year. They've just not looked great. I think their record is a bit fraudulent, but, like, maybe they blow them out. But even if they struggle, like, are there really just any, like, just good teams in the NFL this year? Like, everybody just feels like they're, like, just trudging along.
Yeah, really, like, you sit there and you, like, wish that you could get these style points. You could go out there and Lamar could throw for 4 touchdowns. I thought, I saw some people, like, throwing out their predictions and stuff. And it's like, I don't blame anyone. You don't have to, like, take that super seriously one way or the other. But people being like, oh, Jackson 5 today, Lamar's going to, like, get things on track. And, you know, 5 total touchdowns, whatever the predictions might be. And there were other people who were saying, like, no, the Ravens are just going to, like, be what they are. And they're going to play down to competition and they're going to do this, that, and the other. And I was probably somewhere in the middle of thinking that. And ultimately, it probably wound up being somewhere in the middle of that. But it definitely, for long stretches of this game, it did kind of feel like a play down to the competition type thing. And I guess we can sort of get into the game proper, where first quarter, nothing going on. I mean, they elect to receive, which in that weather, like, I was sitting there and they do that, and I just immediately, that's just one of those little things that I'm just going to key in on. And I did. And they take the ball, they do nothing with it. You punt it away. Carolina doesn't really do anything with it. And you're just trading these, like, 3-and-outs or whatever it might have been. And that first quarter, really uneventful. And it started to sort of, it never felt in doubt for me, but it was just kind of like, man, this is going to be one of those games, isn't it?
I didn't even comprehend that they were, like, the ones to receive the kickoff until, like, about halfway through the second quarter when the, I think Mark Sanchez, like, mentioned, like, yeah, man, the Ravens offense hasn't done much today, and they don't get the ball back to start the second half. And I kind of looked and I was like, what? And then they were like, yeah, they chose to receive. And I was like, what? They chose to receive the opening kickoff for this to happen. Like, and I guess, like maybe they put the trust in the defense. Maybe they were just like, we're going to let the defense carry us today. We want to, like, get the offense the opening shot because we know, like, we stand behind this defense. I don't know what the thinking was. But I think Harbaugh even, like, kind of talked about it was, like, with the wind, and they wanted to get the wind a certain way in the fourth quarter because of the way things were going during warmups with Justin Tucker. I think he said that in the post-game press conference. So I guess that was some of the thinking behind it. But I don't know. But I don't know. I was one of those that put out, like, a prediction. I think I said, what did I say? I said 400 yards of offense, 200 plus yards of touching. I had Lamar's 4 total TDs. That didn't happen. I was, like, spot on with my defensive prediction. I said defense pitches close to a shutout, maybe a field goal here or a garbage time touchdown there. 2 plus turnovers, 3 plus sacks. I just about nailed that. So this defense is real. I can't wait for Marcus Williams to get back. I hope Kyle Hamilton is good. And, man, I'm glad that they played today, because I don't know how long I could have watched that game if I had only had to watch the offense.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle Hamilton leaving with, I think, a knee injury. And then actually Ronnie Stanley walked off with an ankle injury. There was some speculation, like, is it the bad ankle? Is it the ankle that he didn't already hurt? Like, what's going on with that? But he actually already told Lamar Jackson, by the sound of it, in Lamar's post-game press conference, that it's going to be okay. I'm good, I guess, was the quote that he said there. Still nothing on Hamilton. I hope he's good, because A, he's my guy, and I think B, the last couple weeks he has really come around. I thought he looked good today. He was just kind of doing what he's done, man. He came down and made some plays in run support. I think he made a play in the passing game as well today, so a big game from him. And yeah, man, you're correct. This defense continues to stand up. I think we got to give a shout out to Patrick Queen on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it's a guy who I think it's been a really interesting season for him, just a complete roller coaster where things haven't gone great at times. I think he came into the season maybe expecting a bounce back, maybe finally playing his way to where he needed to be, and there were elements of that early in the season, but some struggles overtook that, and people just really trying to throw that bust moniker out there, this and that, and, you know, doing their thing. But the last couple weeks, even pre-Roquan Smith, he's looked great. You bring Roquan Smith in, he looks even better, and today, 9 tackles. He had a half a sack, I believe, and just playing with his hair on fire, he looked awesome. So good for Patrick Queen. Roquan Smith also looked good himself. 6 tackles for him. Up and down day for Marcus Peters. I think he had Terrace Marshall kind of go up on him and make a play in him one-on-one, and some other not so great plays in the passing game, but ultimately I think he had a nice effort. And then he had strip the ball away from Shai Smith there at the end, which I guess we can get into the Jerome Boger thing a little bit too. He completely bungled that. He had a really bad day, just straight up. Like, and I don't know.
Does he never not have a bad day?
No, and like, that's the thing. And I was just kind of like, it got announced that he was going to be calling the game. And I was just like, all right, let's relax. Like, it's the fucking Panthers. Like, no, it doesn't matter that much. Turns out it kind of mattered a little bit because he was just bungling things really left mattered. And right. Yeah, and he was just like, stop it. He was reviewing plays that didn't need to be reviewed. He literally reviewed a play. I was sitting there freezing in my seat. He reviewed a play that could not be reviewed. It was not reviewable. I'm sitting there in my seats freezing my dick off, and like, we're just like, what are we doing? That's obviously Mark Andrews picked up a first down. He did not step out of bounds. Turns out, oh, you can't review that. So even though he stepped out of bounds, or he didn't step out of bounds, we're just going to act as if he did, because like, that's what we said on the field. Not reviewable. Hey, Baltimore doesn't lose the timeout. That's great for them. It's like, hey, Jerome, what the fuck, man? Like, let's get it together a little bit. So you had that. You had missing the fumble on Shai Smith. Obviously, like, you overturn that, you give the Ravens offense the ball, but it's like, Marlon Humphrey should have had a touchdown there. Like, what are we doing, man? Get that together. Just some other tough calls, man, that could have gone either way. But it continues to be a clown car and a sideshow with this guy. And the Ravens are, I said it to my brother today, they bought a deal with the devil with this guy 10 years ago when he didn't throw the flag on Jimmy Smith. They're still dealing with that. Like, that is, you bought your way into that, and now you're, the rent is due every single time this fucker calls a game for them. That's my rant.
That might be a top 3 Jake Luke Baltimore beatdown podcast rant right there. Wow. That was, dude, you got started on that, and I could feel like the emotion like through the freaking computer. Like, it felt like you were like reaching over, and like, if you wanted to choke somebody out, you would have just reached through the screen and choked me out in anger and just shook me as you were like exercising Booger.
I would not do that because I love you, but it just like it, too, it just, and I'm sure it, listen, Booger, I'm sure he's a great guy, but like, what are we doing here? Like, league,
it's
like,
it's bad. So no, they sat there, and so the deal with the goal with the Mark Andrew things, apparently you can only review things like that when they are, I believe the word is either 2 steps or 2 feet from the goal line. That is the wording, apparently. From 2 steps from the goal line. That's the rule, Jake. I'm just letting you know, putting that out there.
Oh, I'm sure the rule exists, and I'm sure it was followed to the letter of the law after they realized what the letter of the law was. And yeah. I had to sit there for 7 fucking minutes while they sat there on a TV timeout reviewing that thing. And I was just like, what do we, like, can we just like, can we get the game moving? There was no game flow. Like, it was just the entire game. It was just TV timeout. It was review this. It was that. And it, like, we're just sitting there freezing our asses off.
It was really hard for me to like I normally don't have a problem locking in to like when I'm watching games. This was like a really hard game to like lock in on the TV. Like, every like 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, can I like get up and like find a freaking house chore to do? Like, is there like dishes that I can wash as an excuse to like, oh guys, I'm sorry, I can't watch the game. I gotta do chores around the house. Like, it was that bad. Like, combined with the offense and the constant commercial breaks and the like, it was just an awful flow, man. Not a great broadcast. Also by Fox.
How did my guys Kugler and the Sanchez do? I'm a fan.
I think they're both like fun to listen to. I actually really like Sanchez as an announcer. a lot of name mess ups. Everybody, like, it happens like once a game, where Marlo gets called Humphreys, and yeah. it irks the crap. Like, so I think he got the on his interception, they said Marlon Humphreys, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, the dude just made the game to like the plate and possibly seal the game, and you're gonna call him the wrong name. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. It's stuff like that that irks me. Like, the really simple stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely annoying. But yeah, I don't know. I have liked those guys a lot. I've liked them.
They were fun. They were fun. Had a lot of fun stuff to say. They are captivating. They are part of the reason that I stayed and watched, because I enjoy listening to them talk.
Yeah, definitely.
They're a good crew.
Yeah, so maybe I'll go back and rewatch the telecast at some point. I think I'm going to hop on with Ken here tomorrow night. So maybe I'll do either the broadcast or see if I can get the all 22 somehow. But either way, yeah, glad to hear that they had a good game, because like I said, big fan of the St. Chai's. And
Fox did not have a good game, but the crew did.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it was. It's also like you don't have a lot to work with there. Like I said, no. It just total anemia on offense for both sides of this game. I mean, Baker Mayfield is. He's not going to be starting next year.
He's got to be fighting to have a backup job for the rest of his career in the NFL, man. I want to do like a dissertation on the downfall of Baker Mayfield, like from the rise at OU to getting picked number one overall out of nowhere, not out of nowhere, but like shockingly number one, to all of a sudden he like to winning a playoff game. Like I just, that part blows my mind. He gives Cleveland their first playoff win in however long, and then poof. Like, I don't know what else to say. NFL. And I would love for somebody to write like a 10 page college theory on him.
Oh man. If only you had a website that you wrote for.
Oh man. Maybe that'll be some off season work.
Hey, sounds like it'll take a lot of research. Whatever help you need with it, we're happy. We just want content. Yeah, I'd be interested to read that too. Honestly, maybe he might be a 30 for 30 guy. Honestly, like how
I can see that in his future.
Yeah, like with how famous he was, like he was in all the commercials and you know the Rose Bowl and everything. And yeah, I mean the Heisman. Like
he's been a big part of the Heisman commercials for a long time.
Yep. Yeah, I could see it. And it's not quite the Manziel thing where there's like substance abuse stuff and all that kind of, you know, nonsense. But yeah, it would be.
But I think that makes it more interesting than the Manziel stuff, because like at least like when the Manziel stuff, you can point to that. You'd be like, oh, but like what is going on? Like legitimately, what is like, I want to know, like I want to take like,
I will a freaking say, CAT I scan think, of
his brain.
Yeah, I will say I think he got done dirty a little bit. Because 2021, like he was not good, obviously, but he got hurt and everything.
He's playing injured.
Yeah, and it just like it felt like they just got an opportunity to go get Deshaun Watson, and they just jumped at it, and they just said, we don't care what happens, and we don't care about this guy, and we're just going to get rid of him. So yeah, I don't know. Like I don't think that he's going to be starting next year, but like, would it shock me if like he just caught on somewhere?
Houston maybe like wants a quarterback to like bridge if they don't think the guy they take can like start right away, which I think they'll probably be getting the first pick. So maybe, but like a team like that, for
instance. Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. Or like a Tampa after Brady leaves.
And they've got a lot of weapons there. So maybe it works with him.
Yeah. But he's like there, it's going to have to be a good team. Cause like this team, the Panthers are not good, and he was not elevating them today. And I don't blame, like I said, the conditions were nuts. Like it was what it was, just really ugly game. And, it's not going to be a resume builder for him, to say the least. It was a resume builder for DeMarcus Robinson. Nine targets, nine catches, 128 yards. I mean, really, really big game for this guy. And
second career 100-yard game for him.
That's pretty wild. And it's interesting because, like, I liked this signing a lot when they did it. I still think the Ravens didn't do enough at wide receiver. And DeSean Jackson inactive today. But I don't know, man. Like, he's just... this guy, he is good enough to be a starter in the league. Like whether it's
he was a quality number three option for the Chiefs behind guys like Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. He's clearly good. Like he was getting target. Like I wasn't the biggest fan. Like I wasn't all over. I was like, oh, this. I wasn't even sure if he was going to make the roster. But I also had no issue with it. A lot of people were like, why are they signing him? They should be going. I was like, no. Like if he can make the roster, he can do things for this team. And then halfway through the year, I was like, no, this was a really good signing. And now he's. With Bateman out, he's like really stepping up. No, Robinson had a great game. A lot of his routes looked really crisp. He looked like a lot of the offense looked pretty slow and sluggish in the cold. He looked like he was bred for it, man.
He's just really smooth. Like, he's very smooth. He was he's a professional. Like, he's legit, man.
Professional that I wish would get more is Devin Duvernay, and I'm starting to like really not understand what's going on there. One target in both the last two games, and where is it? And that can lead into what I think has to be the discussion of this podcast. Beyond trashing Jerome Booger, we need to talk about one Gregory Roman.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, and with the conditions and with the weirdness, like, I'm okay to give him a pass for this game, but it's like, it's got to be better next time out. It's got to be better down in Jacksonville, where you're presumably going to be getting better weather, similar style opponent, I think a little bit better defensively and coaching staff wise. But yeah, it's weird, man. And like, the fact that Mark Andrews goes out that Tampa game and things start to click all of a sudden, and then he's out for that New Orleans game and things look solid. Then he comes back today and it just like completely looks out of sync in the passing game for the most part. It does make me wonder about the Mark Andrews like Ewing theory a little bit.
I don't even think it is that, because Lamar targeted other guys too. Problem was, is there was a lot of drops. So are the drops the reason the offense like failed so badly? Prochet had a really bad drop. Likely had a drop like right in his
Prochet
face.
Prochet had another really bad penalty too. Like, I don't know what's going on with this.
It was not a good call. No. It was an awful call based on the TV review. But okay. Like, it's like people are trashing him on Twitter right now for more. And like, look, I've been a James Prochet stan, so I will admit, but like, I might be a little bit biased here, but he has been disappointing compared to what I thought he would do this year. He has not lived up to my expectations, but also like, chill out on the whole, like, oh, he's got more penalties than he does have catches.
I think it's true. I think that's actually
accurate. No, he has 6 catches and 5 penalties, but he has produced -1 net yards for this offense compared to his receiving yards, compared to his penalty yards. So not producing positively right now. But his last two penalties, like, I don't remember, was it Tampa Bay or was it Saints where he got like the OPI or the where he was blocking for, I think, for a screen, and they said he like touched early and he was just mirroring the guy. It was awful. It was either the Saints or the Bucks game. I can like picture the play. He's like, he's on the right side of the field. He's like mirroring a DB while there's a play going on behind him into the flats. I think it's an RB screen.
Yeah.
And he's like mirroring it, hasn't touched yet. And they called him for like illegal hands to the face or holding or something before the play.
I liked my favorite call was the unsportsmanlike or whatever it was against the Bengals that just wiped out
that card.
That was tough.
I was mad about that, but I was also kind of like, you know what? It's a division opponent. I don't mind you getting a little bit feisty, but that was a dumb play. Ricard dropping the big one earlier today.
And yeah.
People making the Drewski memes about Ricard, which, you know what? Do it. But somebody pointed out today they were pissed. Like, it's so funny to see Ricard run in motion because the defense doesn't even react to him. Okay, so use him. Like, why are we upset that a guy that is as unicorn and special of a talent as Patrick Ricard doesn't get attention? If he doesn't get attention, use him. Make defenses pay attention to him. And guess what? That opens other things up.
And I think in the meta conversation, I think that's sort of what the whole deal is. And Spencer and I talked about this, I think, the last time we recorded. It's like, if you're this offense, what you got to do right now is just take what the defense gives you. And it felt like when they didn't do that today, that's when they were not having success. It's trying to force it deep to Andrews a little bit. It's trying to like push it. Like, if they're just going to like sit up there and account for the run with Jackson, and they're just going to like take away the deep and intermediate stuff, take the short stuff a little bit. And I think when they took what they gave them with Robinson a little bit in the short areas, and then Robinson even a little bit deep when he would get open, that's kind of when they had their success.
He can work well at all three levels.
Yeah, he can. And he even like his first catch of the day was kind of that first down that he had, I think, on a third down, where he just kind of came across on a crossing route and just made something happen. So yeah, it's just overall you need to continue to simplify things, and I get that you want to like mess around and kind of try to experiment a little bit, especially against an inferior opponent. I totally get it. But you got to simplify things a little bit. You got to take what the defense gives you. I don't think they did that today. I think they tried to galaxy brain themselves a little bit. That is until the fourth quarter. I thought they looked good in the fourth, you know, running it with my guy, the Drake, Yeah, making it happen with the quick hitters, and then obviously some runs with Lamar. He had a rushing touchdown at the end of the game. Yeah, just simplify things. That's
I thought Justice Hill looked good today. He looked like he struggled early too, just like Drake, but he he came on. I really wish, like, I get it. I guess Drake is the number one right now, but I really wish they would get Justice Hill going. I just remember how he played before he got hurt, and just I think if you can get him going, this offense can do some special things. I really like his ability, especially catching out of the backfield. I think a lot of these screens and stuff that have gone to Drake, they've done three, and I think one have worked, and he's dropped two. Like, he dropped the one today, and then he missed. He didn't catch one, or the throw was bad. I can't, maybe week five against the Bengals that he dropped one, or maybe, I don't remember. He dropped another one earlier that was a big one. I think if they did those with Hill, I think there'd be a little bit more success. I haven't really seen Hill drop too many passes. Drake dropped a couple today. But no, I like the way these running backs are working. I'm excited to get Gus back, some fresh legs, and then JK in the middle of December gets some real fresh legs. That sounds like he's doing good. I've heard some inklings that he's been feeling pretty good since the surgery.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be good to have those guys back. I thought Gus, I think they missed him a little bit today.
He would have been good in this cold weather.
Yeah, he would have. And JK would have been big as well. So getting both those guys back is going to be big. It's funny that it just feels like there's always somebody for the Ravens. It's like, oh, when this guy comes back, it's just wait, dude. So yeah, I don't know. Ultimately, I think this is a really good win. Gets you to 7-3.
People are really upset and look at all this bad stuff that happened. This is a feel good win for me. A lot of people complained when things got gritty with the Titans game in 2019, they didn't know how to bounce back because they floated through the schedule in the regular season. Okay, here's a really gritty win that kind of felt like it kind of had that same kind of struggles with a lot of drops like 2019, and yet they were able to figure this one out. I'm sure the opponent wasn't as good, but it's still good to see them fight and this defense perform the way it did.
Yeah, I think and anyone who's really seriously complaining that hard was not in that stadium, because, dude, it was, I don't know. I hate to sound kind of like a bitch, and I kind of am being one, but it's I don't know. You're not going to be playing in a lot of games like that, I don't think. And it showed up on both sides. Both teams are playing the Ravens played a little bit better than the Panthers, as were they were their want, because they are the higher quality team. And yeah, they got it done and they covered. So, you know, what's there to complain about? I think they did, right?
Wasn't it a 13-point spread?
I thought it was 11.
Only won by 10.
Oh shit, you're right. Okay, well, they didn't cover then. So yeah, things are terrible.
It's a double digit win. That's all that matters.
Sky's falling. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I don't know. If I told you they were 7-3, they had they had a wide receiver go for over 100 yards. Lamar quietly threw for over 200, had a 72 point some passing accuracy, which is the highest of his season. They had three turnovers. They were a field goal away from pitching in a shutout, which the field goal came on Carolina's best field position of the day, right at midfield. That also had the Chuck Clark pass interference that was ticky-tacky, but that's a different discussion. He has not been playing great recently. Hopefully they get Marcus Williams back, and hopefully Kyle Hamilton is healthy. But they managed to hold after the pass interference that puts them inside I think the 15, and they still managed to hold them to a field goal. So this defense is just playing so well today. They had four sacks I think today. Everybody's popping out. Marlon had some pressure. Kyle Hamilton, before he went out, had a really good pass rush that I really enjoyed. So
yeah, no, it's interesting. And that's no David Ojabo today for that pass rush. So another one of those guys to wait for. Chuckles, Charlie Kohler was not active today either. So yeah, there's still
guys. By any chance, have you seen the ending for the Raiders Broncos game?
Yes, I saw it.
Oh damn, I was gonna ask you who you think won that game between those two pitiful franchises right now, and honestly shocked to say that the Raiders won their first away game of the season.
Yeah, no, it just that kind of just felt like a matchup of two teams equally just circling the drain.
Russell Wilson loses again. God, I can't wait to play the Broncos. I say that now, but they're like, that's probably going to be the game where Russ figures it out and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
It could be, but like, that's kind of why I was tracking that game. I was like, if they win these next two, or like, I don't know who they play next week, but like, if they win one and then they string a couple together, maybe you're worried, but like, that's got to be a broken operation right now. You got Nathaniel Hackett giving up the play calling duties, which is always like the first step in like an offensive head coach, like maybe potentially being put out to sea. So you hate to see that. But yeah, shout out to Clint Kubiak.
Let's go over through this. The Vikings absolutely laid down and died to the Cowboys today.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but I had Dak in fantasy, so happy about that.
Bengals won against the Steelers,
which was a closer game than I was expecting. My guy, Spenny Pickett, you know, making it happen there. So good for him. But yeah, they take the L. Bengals hanging around in the AFC North.
Unfortunately, I hate to see that.
You do.
The Bills did beat it out against the Browns.
They beat it out.
But the Browns had a 13-point. These scores are just weird. The Jets game was like, I was tracking that on the side because that was like a 3-3 game the whole time, like us, where it was just miserable. Did you see the way that ended?
Which one?
The Jets Patriots.
Yeah, I saw that.
The punt return with 5 seconds left, and the NFL is just weird this year, man. I kind of love it. I kind of low key love it. And then I refuse to call them that. The Washington football team apparently they were having a fun game. I've got a bunch of friends who are Washington fans, and they were just apparently partying the whole time. Like, they were just loving it there.
Mm. Yeah, I bet they were. I played golf with a guy yesterday, a good friend of mine who's in one of those end zones. So I'm sure he was having a great time down there. Shout out to the Sizzler and the boys down in the south end zone down there in Landover. Weird NFL day.
Just what a weird dude.
Yeah.
And it goes along with the weird college day yesterday. God, I love this sport.
Yeah. Poor Hendon Hooker. That's a tough scene.
That sucks. I'm curious to see what he's going to do. If he's going to try to go for the draft or if he plays another year.
Yeah. That's a good question. Cause it feels like the SEC, like I get that, like you're going to lose Bryce Young, but it feels like, I don't know. This might have been your one shot to like really do something. So maybe you just go to the draft, but who could say?
I don't know. I really love this team and what they can be. Cause like, I still think they can put this offense together. This defense is freaking awesome and it's going to still continue. Again, you said it earlier, but they continue to have like, oh my God, once they get this guy back.
Yeah.
Talking about if Kyle Hamilton has to take a break, when Marcus Williams comes back, when David Ojabo comes in and adds some pass rush juice. Brings me to a point. I forgot. I wanted to talk about this. Look, I like the dude. I think he's still going to have it in him.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to... Odafe Owe has got to, like, enough is enough. Like, where is this dude? Where is he? Is there somebody else like putting on his jersey before the games and going out there? Is he dealing with like some injury that we don't know about? It's like he continues to never have his name called throughout the entire broadcast.
Yeah, this is like where if Spenny was on, he'd like pull up all the like, you know, SIS.
The pressure rates.
Yeah, pressure. And like, no. I'm with it. Like, I love all that stuff. And he's a good player. But like, the sack production has got to, it's got to come from somewhere. And like, they drafted him in the first round for that. Like, you got to start getting to the quarterback.
He was like, the whole point was that they had gone with the proven like pass rusher who has the stats, but maybe isn't the most athletic. So he has trouble like finishing against these athletic quarterbacks. So they went with this athletic guy that ran a 4.39, didn't have a ton of sack production, had zero the year before, but they were like, you know what? We can do it. He's an athlete. He can turn into a finisher. He had sacks as fresh and just nothing. Like, I mean, like all like again, I feel like if the preseason buzz hadn't been as big as it was, I wouldn't be caring. I'd be like, okay, he has a sack. He only had 5 through 15 last year. He can still kind of like match that pace because he's only got 1 through 9. But like all preseason, it was he's destroying the tackles at preseason. He looks like a freaking monster. He's destroying OTAs. He's destroying minicamp. He's gonna have a double digit sack seat. And like there's just been nothing from him. And like maybe he turns it on near the end of the season. Maybe he finally like something clicks. I don't know. Maybe something clicks and he gets it. But like, I'm not putting him on bus watch or whatever you clowns do on Twitter, but I think he is a good player. He does stuff and he is a freak athlete, but like something's got to happen here. Like somebody's got to have a talk with the dude, sit him down. Somebody got to talk about him on the podium. Like I'm surprised nobody is talking about him on the podium considering how much people talked about him before the season.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where like I think everyone knows what's going on in the locker room and you're not going to like talk shit or like anything about a guy.
No. And I don't like talking crap about players. I don't like saying what players can't do. I don't like being negative about players, especially guys on my own team that I like to root for. But this is like it's not concerning, but like it's in the back of my head a lot.
Yeah, you're right. It's like you got to turn it up a little bit. Like you're a first round pick. You got to turn it up. You got to put QBs on their ass a little bit more, for sure.
Yeah. But they put Baker on his ass 4 times today. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Shout out to Calais Campbell. Shout out to Patrick Queen.
Two away from 100. Patrick Queen had a half a sack.
Roquan had one, I think.
Roquan had one. Campbell had one. And hold on, I have the box score right here. Why am I like?
I do as well, actually. Really good
rating. Roquan, Pierre Paul had one too. And then Houston had the half a sack to go with Queen.
There you go.
So, Houston, who has another just in the quarterback's face again.
Quietly just getting it done. But yeah, interesting kind of. Interesting game. Some people dissatisfied. I think we're both happy enough with it. Ravens are 7-3. That's what matters. And they go down to Jacksonville to play not a great Jaguars team next week. We'll see what happens with it. They maybe played down to their opponent a little bit today, but another double-digit win will get it done for you. So that gives you some cushion, like I said, going into Jacksonville. So anything else from you, pal, before we get out of here?
No, sir. I'm feeling good. I had fun today.
Awesome. Well, I guess that'll do it for us. Where can the folks find you and your stuff on the social media and the website?
You can find me on Twitter for as long as the website remains up at @perp_blackveins. Jakey boy, go get some soup. Warm up. Sounds like it was cold out there today.
Oh, brother, trust me. I already took a bath. I had some dinner. It's been
Ooh, the bath move. I like it.
Oh, brother, I a nice bath with some Epsom salts and some I don't even know what it is, but like the shit that you pour in there that makes you sleepy. Yeah, pretty good.
I like to have rubber duckies in my bath, but that's just me personally.
I got to invest in some rubber duckies or something to, you know, provide some entertainment in there. I don't want it to be all business in there, you know. But yeah, you can follow the show on Twitter at @podcastbtown. You can find me at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. Throw Spenny a follow while you're there at Ravens for Dummies. Thanks for hopping on Zeege. Thanks for everyone listening. We'll talk to you guys again, I guess, later in the week, previewing Ravens Jaguars. And we'll...
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We shall see you. Peace out.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Super Bowl out of me.